Well, I look around and I see some people that will probably get another dose of what they've had before. Because some of the things I'll share comes from what we studied in Sunday night Bible study. But in looking at it, it's never too dull to see again what mighty God has done for us through His Son and by the Holy Spirit. So as we think about the things of God and realize He is love, and being the loving God that He is, He wants us to have the very best. And He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the very best. Amen. And so as we look to the Son and see His great and mighty love, because He had to have love for us, as well as love from the Father and loving back to the Father in order to do what He did. And so if we look at the redemption and what we'll be talking about tonight, redemption, we sang a song tonight about redemption. And so that was a good lead-in. There's some things there that are revealed to us, but we're going to see some things that are a little bit different than what many of you have seen before. Because I believe that once we know that we have a God that is more than enough, then we're going to know that He has given to us something much better than we've ever experienced before. Amen. And that's what we want to look at.
Thank you, Lord.
Something better than we've ever experienced before. Now, redemption is what Christ took on Himself so that we could have complete redemption, so that we would be totally free from everything that Satan put on us all the time that he was God of this world, from the time that Adam turned it over right up to the time that Jesus came to take care of that need. So we can have complete redemption. Complete redemption. So as we say we have complete redemption, what might we be thinking of? Well, one of the things we can do is to look at the prophecy, because God saw things going differently than He had planned, and so He knew that He had to send a Savior. And the Christian faith is the only one that has a Savior. And He knew by experience, because He tried several of them, and they didn't make it, so He knew that we had to have a Savior. And so in sending that Savior is going to do something that had never been done before, so that we could see a new life that was never available before. So in God's prophecy, and God always brings the word forth first. And so once He brings the word forth, then it's going to come about. So we can realize that when He spoke the word, and I'm just going to use a paraphrase for Isaiah 53, 4, and 6, because that's where the prophecy occurred, in Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. And the paraphrase part is, He took our place and received sin, sickness, disease, pain, and torment for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needed to obtain our peace and well-being was upon Him, and with His stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. That's a list that you can look at it and realize that's what God said is going to happen. How many of you have had sickness? Doesn't it say He's redeeming us from sickness? That's the truth of the word. Now, why would we not believe that? We're going to look at some things that might help you believe. It was God's love for us being His children on earth, that gave Jesus the love so that he could come down and do it. Because love is the greatest force that's here on this earth, greatest force in the universe. And we don't often think of it that way, because you see in John, you know, it tells us that we overcome by our faith. Yeah, isn't that right? But it says in Galatians that faith is divinely energized by love. So love is greater than faith. So that love is what brings people to that word so that they can assimilate it in their being and have the word of God standing strong in us. So that's that love of the Father. So when we have the love of the Father in us, you know, 1 John 4:18 tells us that complete love, there is no fear, no fear whatsoever. So if there's no fear, there's complete faith. There's complete faith. When there's that complete faith, it continually has that love that is supporting, increasing, and growing our faith. And so it gets better all the time. We have more of a desire to follow after the Father and do the things that the Father says to do. And the more we do that, the more we see that God is giving to us greater and greater benefits, because we walk in his love and we walk in his peace and we walk in desiring to do what God wants us to do. And the more that happens, the more we have blessings coming into our being. Now, the one thing that we can look at that love and how God sent Jesus, and it's out of 1 John 4:8 and 4:9 and 4:10 as well, but God is love, and he manifested that love towards us by giving us his only begotten Son so that we could, yes, we could live through him, so we could live through Jesus Christ. That manifested love, so we could live through Jesus Christ. Now, what does that tell you about redemption? Think about what it said. When it said that we could live through Jesus Christ, he sent his Son so we could live through Jesus Christ. Well, living through Jesus Christ is redemption. Yeah. It's redemption. It's full redemption. And if you go through all the things in the Bible that says through Jesus Christ, you see all the things that are related to redemption. So there's many different ways that we can see that. And it's what God wants to do is to help us see it in every different direction. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, Jesus went to the cross because of his love and the Father's love. And in that love is how he was carried through all the things that was put upon him, because it wasn't easy. It was difficult, but because of the love, he had such strong faith that he knew that God would never leave him nor forsake him. He knew that God was always going to take care of his need. He knew that he had such trust in him that he would say, everything that I'm going to come up against, I already have it taken care of, because the Father loves me so greatly. The Father loves you the same as he loves Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. That ought to be something you want to jump up and holler about, yeah, because it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, the following is a complete redemption through the prophecy of Jesus Christ. Now, how many have looked at the prophecy of Jesus Christ besides our class members? The prophecy of Jesus Christ is in John 16:33. So this is a scripture that you might want to put down. It's John 16:33, and the best translation is out of Amplified Bible, Classic Edition. Classic Edition. The others are kind of blah in respect to this one. So you want something with fire in it. Hallelujah. Some with fire in it. Praise God. And so, this is when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and they just got through eating, and they were getting ready to go out to Gethsemane. And then from Gethsemane, he was going on to beatings and trials, and he was going on to be put on the cross. And then up on the cross, he finished what was prophesied in Isaiah 53, 4, and 6. He finished that, but then he died on that cross, and he went into a burial. He was put in a tomb, and from that tomb, he defeated Satan and all his cohorts. And then he came out of there, and he was risen up from the dead, and he went around and saw 500 other people, and then he made his great commission. And at that great commission is where he gave us that word to say to overcome Satan. Hallelujah! He gave us that. And so we can say, cast out those demons. Cast out those demons. So when you have anything within you that says you don't have here, we're to cast out those demons. We're to pray for others that don't know how to pray in the Spirit, because they said, yes, we would pray in the Spirit. So they'd pray with other tongues. So praise God. You know, if Jesus had the fortitude to tell them to do that, he knew there was something in it. But going back to Acts 10:38, that tells us that Jesus had something to do in tongues, because he spoke. He, praise God. So let's take a little look at then. It's John 16:33. You know, it's what we want to see in here is a meaning that brings to us such a change in attitude towards Jesus and revelation. And that revelation can come about in a way as we open up our hearts to see it. So we have to realize that we have to have the faith of Jesus Christ to do this. We cannot get a full revelation on things without knowing the faith of Jesus Christ. He's the one that has brought it all forth. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that brings forth every good thing in our lives, because we have the Holy Spirit and we have the faith of Jesus Christ. And so those work together so that there is nothing that can overcome us when we believe. When we believe. Hallelujah. So this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's wanting them to know what's going to happen and what to look for, because he doesn't want them to just taken off and going somewhere else when he has plans and great and mighty plans for us. So when we look then at what he's saying, he said, I have told you these things. So already he's getting them hyped up, because he wants them to know. He's telling them something they need to pay attention to. By doing that, it will help them see that they are in store for something very, very good. Amen. And so, I have told you these things so that in me, what he's wanting them to do is to look at himself, to look at Jesus Christ. So everything that we do, we ought to be looking in Christ Jesus as a part of it. One thing that I see so important in my life is that I'll pray in the faith of Jesus Christ, and I'll pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's the faith of Jesus Christ that has the faith to overcome everything. We don't have that faith. We need a Savior, and we need the Savior's faith. And so when we have the faith of Jesus, so when we come up to something and we will move to a point where we have gone as far as we could and we don't seem to have that faith to get over the hump, to get up there and overcome things, then Jesus Christ will come. If we open ourselves up and know that Jesus Christ will be the one, his faith will bring us over the top. It'll bring us over the top. And then we will be able to pray like we had never, ever prayed before. and supernatural works will come about in our lives that had never, ever happened before. And so we see that many times once when we haven't gotten into the understanding of the faith of Jesus Christ, then we're not the place that we need to be, because we ought to be overcoming Satan. Now, so that in me, what's going to happen in me? You may have perfect peace and confidence. Ooh, hallelujah! Perfect peace and confidence. Now, that alone should get you stirred up. Because perfect peace is what he said you'll have in me. And you see, he is prophesying redemption. Perfect peace is also redemption. Perfect peace is also redemption. So if we look at that redemption and look at perfect peace, we're going to say, hallelujah! That is something that God has given to us. And so he's telling them that. And so what is perfect peace? Well, we got a couple lines here. So when Jesus was talking, did he talk in the language of the Hebrew? Yeah. So what would he do? He'd be calling forth peace as shalom. And so shalom is what we want to talk about. That's shalom. So look at this. Peace in Hebrews is shalom, and one meaning of it is completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, safety, soundness, happiness, wealth, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, contentment, peace with humans, peace with God, and peace from war. Does that sound like something we ought to have? Amen. Amen. And this is what is being told to us by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, can we trust in his saying? Has he ever, yes, has he ever done anything that wasn't faithful? Everything he did throughout time, he's done it through faithfulness. And if he did it through faithfulness, we can rely upon his saying now, and then we can see that these are the words that he wants to be sown into people's heart so that they operate and produce fruit. Praise God. Yes. Now, let's look at another one. This is a definition of peace out of One New Man Bible. Shalom comes from shalem, meaning to be complete, nothing missing and nothing broken. When there is shalom, there is tranquility, justice, sufficient food, clothing, housing. There is divine health with no sickness. Now, that's the top side of it. Now, let's look at the other side of it, because they also want to look at it in terms of what is not there. So, listen to this. Shalom means an absence of disorder, injustice, bribery, corruption. Wouldn't that be nice to have that now? Conflict, lack, hatred, abuse, violence, pain. Yes, the Holy Spirit told me one time, pain is a lie, Marvin. Pain is a lie. It's a lie. It is. Pain is a lie. Pain, suffering, immorality, and all other negative forces. The full meaning of shalom is essentially equivalent to complete redemption that Jesus took on himself so we could have a freedom from the bondage of Satan. Totally free from the bondage of Satan. Now you're sitting there thinking, I haven't been that way. Well, neither have I. But I'm gaining ground on it because I'm seeing more all the time and what the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. Yes. Then in the name of Jesus, we can expect great things. So now, continuing with his prophecy, he says, in the world you have. He said what he's going to give us. Now he's saying, in the world, this is what you're going to have. So what is it? It's tribulations and trials and distress and frustration. Wow. Let's expand on that a little bit. It gets down there and digs on you a little. Tribulation, heavy pressure situation, grueling, crushing situations, trouble, anything that causes difficulty, worry, and inconvenience, or that prevents you from doing something. Isn't Satan doing that to you all the time? Too often. Now, trials. He tempts you, he tests you thoroughly, and he tries you exceedingly. So those are the things that he's working on. Frustration, emptiness, futility, frustrate, to keep someone from doing or achieving something, to battle the efforts, hopes, or desires of. So he's trying to keep us down all the time. That's it. That's his job. But Jesus said that I have come. And he defeats Satan. Now, verse 33, continue. But be of good cheer. Now, he just talked about it. God, you see, now you tell me, be good cheer. Be good cheer. Is he kind of spoofing us a little? No. If you really look at the word and see what Jesus did on the way to the cross and on the cross, he was in joy, even at the supper. Yes, tell him, he was joyful in doing this. He went with joy. And he said, it is finished. It said he cried, but he cried with joy. It is finished. He was happy that all that was over with, because he didn't really want to go through it, but he knew he had, because God said that's the only way it's going to be. And so he said, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what we have to do too. Not my will, but your will be done. And if we go by God's will, we're going to stand pat on what this prophecy says, and we're going to change things so that we defeat Satan and his works, and we're following after, because we have a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit that's bringing us forth with such gusto. It's not saying, oh, I believe we'll do it. No, he has got some go in him. He's an overcomer. So, be of good cheer. Then he goes on to say, take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, not intimidated or discouraged, but difficulty or danger or disappointment. So we have to remain so that even though tough times come, that's when we get tougher. We have to go stronger, because Satan is going to try his best to overcome. But we have the Word of God, the power of God, and we can know that we can overcome. So it says here that, for I have overcome the world system. What does that mean? That means that everything that Satan has been doing, he has overcome it. He has overcome it. And having overcome it, then it means that we don't have to do it anymore. He has already done it. We have to rely upon him. And as having to rely upon him means that we have to trust in him. And we have to walk in love, and rely on. And so when we look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they work together as one, and they're always going to be working together in doing what will provide us the best life ever. Why would he want to do that? Because of his love. He wants everyone to have that love working within them. He wants them all to walk in the desire of the Word being strong and mighty in them. Praise God. So, after he said, I have overcome the world system, it reads, I have deprived it from power to harm you. So wouldn't you think? Deprived it, deprived the world system of power to harm you. What does that say about COVID-19? If we would believe in the power that God has placed us under, we would not have to have any difficulty because we know that God has already given us everything we need in order to keep from having any virus, any sickness, any disease, any pain, any of those things. Any of those things. Any of those things. And so we have to say, all right. All right. And then it says on that, and I have conquered the world system for you. Conquered it. One thing that I found out in going through this, I didn't realize that the conquered came in two parts. And so it fits very well in this, because when you look at conquered, then first there's an overcoming, and there's a second part that is a part which keeps people from, if let's say in the military part of it, you know, you've overcome the enemy, and then you put the enemy in confinement so they're not going to be able to do anything to you again. Well, that's what Jesus has done. He has overcome the world system, and now he's put Satan in confinement so that he cannot do anything to us except to lie, steal, kill, destroy. Those are by deception. So we can have all these things that Jesus has redeemed us from if we allow Satan to lie to us, to deceive us, to do those things that gets our mind on the things of the enemy rather than having on the things of God and believing in what God has done through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. And so it's a deception that brings it about. And it can come quickly. Satan's a master at it. He's been doing it all from ever. Forever he's done it. And as a result, then we can't overcome his works without a Savior. That's why we have to have a knowledge of the faith of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Because the Holy Spirit is giving us everything. See, the Holy Spirit came, and Jesus said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit is our comforter, our strengthener, our standby, our advocate, our intercessor, our teacher, brings forth revelation knowledge, brings forth what Jesus says, remembrance of what Jesus said had done, bring forth all the fruit of the Spirit, all these things. It's what the Holy Spirit's come, and Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. So he's our supernatural partner. Wow, praise God. Supernatural partner. Supernatural partner. I don't know how much time I have left.
2 minutes.
How much?
Five.
Five? Five. All right. Well, if we don't understand redemption, it means that we're kind of like a goat. And I say that based on Rick Renner had a friend that had a goat. And the police called him and said, your goat's out in the ditch and it's dead. And so his friend went and found where the goat was. A policeman said where the goat was. And so he went and found that goat. And he looked down there and he was grieved. And then he thought, oh, that goat's not dead. So he jumped in the ditch, took his pocket knife, and cut the ropes. And he took the ropes off, and then he hit that goat on behind and said, get up. That goat just laid there. Didn't do a thing. He said, get up. That goat laid there. And so he said, oh. So he pulled the legs apart and hit him again. That goat just laid there. And then he lifted that goat up and put it on its feet and let it stand there a while. And then that goat realized he was free. He is free. He is free. But see, it takes a while to comprehend it. So if we don't get into the Word of God, we're not going to comprehend what we have. We'll be like that goat. We're free already, but we don't know it. We don't know it. We got to say, yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. Praise God. And so we know that the Word of God is so. And we know that we can trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in ministering and guarding angels. We know all these things. Now put it to practice. To put God first place, His Son and the Holy Spirit, so that you trust in them more than the lies of Satan. You trust in what it says, that you are redeemed from these things. And you comprehend it by doing things that might be small in the beginning. I've started some small things by, if I have a pain in my body somewhere, well, I'll say, pain, that's a lie. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cast it out. I cast it out. And praise God, it'll go away. So I know that works. I know that works. And so when we get ourselves in line with the Word of God, they'll be just like Jesus was back on earth, but not he's doing it through the Word that He gave us and the redemption that He gave us. But we can have new hips grown back. We can have, you know, anything missing working again. There is no limits to all these things because of God's love. Well, Father, we do thank You and praise You that You're such a loving, kind, and compassionate God, that You give us those things and You show us how we can overcome because You've given us Your Son and the Holy Spirit and ministering and guarding angels, and You have given us the Word called the Bible. And this Word tells us all the things that have happened. And so we can realize that everything that has happened already is for us, and Jesus paid the price, and all the things that He has done gives glory to God. So we desire to do what is right in God's sight, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and be a blessing and honoring to God. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, yeah. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Come on down. There you go. Yeah. I guess I'm going to need to get you a ramp right here. Just shoom, down you go. Yeah. But, I mean, a ramp is easier than these stairs. You know, you just, then you could run down the aisle, you know. So, come on, stand to your feet. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for the Word. Father, we believe it, and we trust You. And we thank You, sir, that You are the God that has redeemed us. You have redeemed us from the curse of the law. You have purchased our freedom, our liberty. We walk in that. We trust that Your Word, oh yes, it is the truth. And we'll walk in that truth. We'll continue to grow in that truth. We'll continue to grow as we seek Your face and fellowship with You, studying to show ourselves approved. Thank You, sir. We give you all the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Come on. Y'all agree on that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord.